Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast on the 17th of April, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, the Hat Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. CJ Miller is here with the news today, including concern from pork producers over African swine fever affecting the U.S. herds, and might undocumented farm workers receive legal status? Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. Indiana farm forecast has decent weather today as near normal conditions move in. Some minor rain chances, too. And yesterday, corn, beans, and wheat all higher. Analysis on the way with Steve Erdman on the Hat Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Preventing African swine fever from coming into the U.S. and President Trump floating a plan to legalize undocumented ag workers. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. Well, as the poultry industry is being hit with a bird flu outbreak, America's pork producers are sounding the alarm about preventing an African swine fever outbreak.
It has been discovered in the Dominican Republic, which is way too close to the United States.
And that's Jackie Ponder from Johnson County, one of the newest members of the board of directors with the National Pork Producers Council. She says if pigs here in the U.S. were ever to test positive for African swine fever, it would have a crippling effect on the ag economy.
It's scary. And that's why we are pushing to renew and expand a lot of items for the animal health portion of the Farm Bill. And that's the National Animal Health Lab Network, the National Animal Disease Preparedness and Response Program, the National Veterinary Stockpile, the National Animal Vaccine and Veterinary Countermeasure Bank. Those are things that we need strengthened so that if anything does happen, we can react quickly.
In addition to pressing your lawmakers for more funding for research, Ponder says more needs to be done to stop people from bringing in infected pork from outside the U.S., which includes permanent funding in the next farm bill for the Beagle Brigade.
Some of the things people bring in, it's not for nefarious reasons. They go back home and they visit family and nobody makes this dish just like mama makes it. And so she puts it in a Tupperware container or whatever, and they put it in their luggage. And the thing about the beagles, when you see them at the airport going through luggage, they're not looking for drugs, they're looking for meat. I saw a demonstration at Pork Expo last year in Iowa, and it's fascinating to see them. They can tell if it's pork or any other meat. They alert to it, and people don't understand that bringing that raw meat into the United States can bring disease.
Check out more of my conversation with Jackie Ponder with the National Pork Producers Council. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, a shortage of labor has been an ongoing issue within the ag industry. And for the first time last week, President Trump addressed the issue during a cabinet meeting, saying that his administration is looking into providing some relief to farmers and hotel operators who employ immigrants who aren't here legally.
We have to take care of our farmers and hotels and, you know, various places where they need the people.
Trump has suggested that a new program be set up to help legalize farm workers and reduce the risk of farmers losing undocumented workers to mass deportations.
We're also going to work with farmers that if they have strong recommendations for certain people, we're going to let them stay in for a while and work with the farmers and then come back and go through a process, a legal process.
He said that undocumented workers will be given a chance to self-deport and return to the country legally under the recommendation of a farmer.
So a farmer will come in with a letter concerning certain people saying they're great, they're working hard. We're going to slow it down a little bit for them. And then we're going to ultimately bring them back. They'll go out. They're going to come back as legal workers.
Meanwhile, many ag organizations have also been urging your lawmakers in Congress to revise the federal H-2A visa program, which only allows ag workers from outside the U.S. to stay here and work legally for 9 months. But beef, pork, poultry, and dairy producers all say they need workers for more than just 9 months at a time. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We are going to be dealing with decent weather today. Temperatures are on the rise, and I think we're going to put together a near normal set of temperature conditions for your Thursday. We do have a weather system building to our west and southwest across Missouri, Illinois, Iowa. That's going to throw some cloud cover into west and southwestern parts of Indiana through the morning and midday hours, and I won't rule out some hit and miss scattered showers as we move into this afternoon and early evening. However, I don't think this is a widespread event in our area, and the moisture dissipates as we head past the sunset. Clouds are going to be the main story. For tomorrow, we open the day with a few hit and miss spits and sprinkles up to the north and maybe some cloud cover trying to come together, but we're pushing off any significant rain until overnight tomorrow night, right on through Saturday. That's where we can see rain and thunderstorm activity over 100% of the state, quarter to 1 inch easily. Strong storms are possible down in southern parts of Indiana. Unfortunately, our forecast is now changing for Easter Sunday. That first round of moisture for Saturday does not pause. It doesn't end. So I think as we go into Easter Sunday morning, we have additional rain coming through. Maybe we see a slight pause late afternoon, but then we're going to be seeing a front come through overnight Sunday night into Monday. So I think we can see another quarter to 1 inch of rain through that Saturday night and Sunday time frame, finally done before sunrise Monday morning. Monday should turn out dry as we dry slot, mostly dry for Tuesday next week as well. Then we're somewhat unsettled for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. On one hand, high pressure wants to settle in over the Great Lakes, and that should suggest drying, but we've got plenty of moisture trying to pop its way up in from the south, coming off the Gulf of Mexico. So I'm going to say for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we need to keep an eye out for some scattered showers, especially in the Ohio Valley, but we may be able to see some significant drying for the latter part of the week over the Great Lakes, and maybe some of that noses down into northern Indiana and northwest Ohio. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine. You're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easy and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Higher in corn, beans, and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. We'll have the final numbers coming up. First, what happened? For that, I checked in with Steve Erdman, EFG Group in Chicago, at the end of the session. We had a lower dollar on Wednesday. Crude oil responded with a higher move, and we had a quiet move, Steve, to the upside in corn, beans, and wheat, and it was quiet throughout the trading session, but a higher close. Can you explain what may have been at play for the higher move?
Well, I think the market has been responding to some better than expected demand. That's, I think, what has driven prices 30 to 40 to 50 cents higher in corn, for example, over the past several weeks, if not months. While everybody was worried about an increase in planted corn acres, and they finally came out with a number at the end of March, and it was indeed a much more aggressive corn planting acreage figure than what we had a year ago, for example. But the market immediately went back to trading demand. This is a demand pull market, and I think beans have to keep pace with corn. They've also had some pretty dynamic demand for for beans. And today, I think the weaker dollar was the driver behind the optimism in the corn, beans, and wheat market. I think that was probably one of the bigger factors. The dollar, as we're speaking right now, is down about 75 cents at 99.20. Looks to me like it could go another 200 or 300 points lower before we run into much support. Stock market's off 700 as we speak. E-mini's off 135. NASDAQ, I think, is the main culprit. It's down 687 right now, and I think that's NVIDIA and some of the aftermarket weakness we saw yesterday. But to back to the grains, I think it's just that the market continues to be surprised, pleasantly surprised, with the offtake and how that's going to impact our ending stocks of corn and beans. So there's a little bit more optimism out there. I think a couple of months ago, nobody could talk about anything but the fact that Brazil was going to raise this monster crop, and they started having some weather problems, so they tempered it a little bit, but still a big crop in South America, still a good crop in Argentina. They were talking about Argentina's wheat crop yesterday, coupled with the weakness in Paris wheat and how that was impacting the wheat market. But lo and behold, we're up 3.5 to 4 cents today in Kansas City wheat, and a couple 2 to 4 higher in Chicago wheat. So if you get bored with the price action, wait till tomorrow. It'll probably do what you want it to do.
You have your ears to the ground in a pretty significant way. What about the U.S. crop, corn and soybeans, as far as what kind of a planting start we're off to and what kind of a crop we may be able to raise?
Andy, I think people are going to be stunned with the amount of corn that went in the ground this week when we come to Monday afternoon's crop condition report and planting progress. Everybody that I talked to today, it was a little bit too wet on Monday. Yesterday, it dried out pretty good, and today, everybody's going gangbusters. So I think we're putting a lot of corn in the ground this week, and I think a lot of guys are pushing it because we're looking at 4 days of rain, I think, in the forecast. And if that comes to fruition, obviously, it's going to impact if it's widespread enough and we get some needed moisture in the northern half of Iowa, or if the Dakotas get any moisture. I think everybody's going to be very grateful, thankful that they're getting the moisture. But right now, I think guys are trying to beat the weather and get the crop in the ground. I think corn and beans. I talked to guys today that said the beans in their area around Galva, Illinois, were in. They were pretty much done with the beans, you know, and everybody's just doesn't really make a difference about corn planting or bean planting at this juncture. Everybody's feeling that, you know, get the beans in the ground early and they're going to yield better too. So it isn't like the good old days when we really just focused on corn and wait a week or two and then put the beans in. Everybody's going when it's fit. So plant in the dust and the bins will bust.
Steve Erdman, Market Analysis. Steve is with EFG Group. It's the Hat Wednesday Farm Market Review. Just a little higher in corn. May, 484 and a quarter, up 3. July, up 2 and a quarter, 491 and 3 quarters. And Dece, 2.5 higher, 466 and 3 quarters. May beans, 1038 and 3 quarters, a gain of 2 and 3 quarters. Up 3 and 3 quarters for July, 1050 and a quarter. Novi, 1034 and a quarter, up 4.5 cents. And May wheat, 547 and 3 quarters, up 1.75 cents. July, 561, that was a nickel gain. Strong in the meats, June live cattle, 202.07, up 227. June lean hogs, 97.95, up 277. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.